Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Hunky Dory. I haven't heard that one in a while. All right. I want to welcome you to the Frederick Church of Christ. If we're meeting for the first time, my name is Tony Peterson. I have the great honor and privilege to serve here as the minister. If you're joining us online in the Zoom world, in the Zoom land, we want to thank you for joining. I just want to say I love you guys. Love you guys. I appreciate you guys so much. Such an amazing feeling, such an amazing reality to have church family. Now, I want to establish that foundation that I love you guys so much, and because you might hear some rumors this morning, okay? And those rumors might be that I was 20 minutes late for Bible study, 25 minutes late, 25, you know, you guys weren't counting. That's good. I also happen to be leading Bible study this morning, too, if that means anything to you. But this is why I love you guys so much, you know? It's interesting. It's going to play into what we talk about today because, you can flip there now. I'm going to say a couple announcements, but we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 16. And, you know, we've been in this series, in Proverbs and talking about how do we apply these spiritual truths, these principles of fearing the Lord and God equipping us to live skillful lives in His will to our lives. And this morning, very ironically, God has a sense of humor. I'm convinced of that. The topic for this morning is, what's your plan? And it's all about making plans. And I plan to be here on time. We'll get into that later. Just by way of a couple of announcements, Melody Boxen asked me to say on January 20th, there's going to be a craft day over at the Fellowship Hall from 8 to 4. Bring a craft, bring a project. If there's anything you want her to show you, you're welcome to do that. Bring something to share for lunch. Bring a friend. And that'll be Saturday, January 20th from 8 to 4. Also tonight, there we go. Tonight we have we're playing tug of war here. New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve fellowship and worship tonight at 8 p.m. in the fellowship hall. You can expect me promptly at 8:25, and we are going to have a good time. we're going to sing a few worship songs. We're going to pray. We're going to play some games. Bring your favorite game. Bring those snacks and desserts that you still have that you can't get rid of. And bring something that you want to enjoy with fellowship with brothers and sisters. And bring in the new year with the family of God. Amen. So as I said, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 16. I'm going to read the first 9 verses to us. And really, this is quite amazing. You know, I say this often from up here that, one of the toughest things about the service that God has called me to is that whatever I'm preaching about, you better believe I'm wrestling with all week. And I think this morning was a little bit of, in case you thought I was joking, here we are. And we all wrestle with this. We all wrestle with plans. We all wrestle with the balance of making plans, including God in our plans. And especially at this time, as we go into a New Year's celebration, you know, often what's on the minds of many people is New Year's resolution, new year, new me. Let me try and get this knocked out, have these goals in mind, have these purposes and priorities in mind. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today and see what Proverbs 16 has to guide us in this. Amen. All right. So let me read the first 9 verses. It's Proverbs chapter 16. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, He causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, Lord, we love you so much. Father, regardless of where we're stepping out of and into the church building this morning, whatever our morning, our night, our week look like, Lord, thank you that here with your people, here with your presence, we're home. Father, I thank you for your guidance. I thank you for your love. Father, we are in desperate need of you in every aspect of our lives and eternal life. Lord, we need you and we love you. And Father, I pray that as we worship as a family, as we edify one another and talk about the things that you've done in our lives, in our church, in our families this year, Lord, that your name will be lifted high. And as we plan and course the things to come, Lord, may we include you in every aspect. Father, ultimately, it is your will that we submit to and want to accomplish. Father, for we trust that your will is far greater than anything we can come up with. Lord, we have plenty of testimony of that in our lives here today, that your will is what's been established and planned. And the beauty therein, Father, we thank you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Tom. Good morning again, everyone. So as we get into our passage in Proverbs chapter 16, you ever have one of those weeks or one of those days where nothing really seems to go to plan? It's not just me. Okay, good. All right, even playing field. I like those. That's good. Yep, that was this week. Felt like everything that that we had planned, that I had planned, that we planned with the kids or whatever, it just ended up completely different than what we thought it would. I got a good friend who says, we make plans and God laughs at them. And I think that can definitely be true in our lives. I don't think he's laughing at us. I think he's just laughing with us maybe, right? Or maybe I'm just making myself feel better. Anyway, one of the things I wanted to note before we get into this, and Harry did a great job of communion. Harry, I love when you get into the one Lord and Savior, two this, three crosses. It just takes me there, and I appreciate you for that. What our Lord and Savior has done for us, we can't quite put into words. We've had plenty of testimony of that as we were sharing during edification time what God has done and is doing, and will continue to do in the lives of those that love him. One of the things, one of the comments in Bible study, really, we were talking about, what's the mission of the church? What are we called to do? We've talked a lot about what the church is in the last few weeks. And this morning, we really wanted to focus a bit on what is our calling? What are we supposed to be doing? And, we came up with evangelism and social concern and edification for one another and worship of our Lord and Savior. And all those things that the church is called to do, as Harry pointed out, we're called to do it with love. And that was really the key moment. Kim made that comment in Bible class. And that's what we ought to be doing. No matter what it is that we're called to do, the way in which we do it, the mode in which we operate in that thing ought to be with love. And so with that in mind, I just wanted to say, this is just sort of the beautiful thing about the church. We can go all week long and our plans won't go the way we want them to go. And, we can have all sorts of great ideas and want to do all these things and all of that's good stuff. But when that doesn't go to plan, how do you react? When the things that you think God's wanting you to do, or maybe it's things that you just want to do and it doesn't end up happening, how do you react? Now, my natural carnal human reaction is to get frustrated, right? Yeah, I want to get frustrated. I'm angry now. I'm disappointed. My pride's hurt because I put this thing together and now it's not being walked out the way in which I imagined it. And, you know, I can lose myself in those moments, you know, and I'm learning. I think we're all learning when it comes to this sort of thing. You know, it's not really about us. It's about what God is doing. And are we going to include him in what we're doing? Because we can have all week long where we have these great plans and all these things and they don't happen. And how do we react to that? You know, sometimes it doesn't go the way I want and I lose my mind. And it takes coming in here to remember who I am. You know, I think that's one of the beautiful things about church family is that, you know, we all still have our struggles. We all still have things that we wrestle with. But as soon as we walk through those doors, we remember who we are. And the only reason we're able to do that, you say, well, how is that true? Because our true identity is found right here in Jesus Christ. So when we walk through those doors, regardless of what our week, how that played out, how our morning played out, I'm a good testament to that this morning. We remember who we are. Now, this may or may not surprise you. If you were to, you know, say, hey, can we get a cup of coffee and talk about some things? I have some stuff I want to talk to you about. You'll see me show up with a couple things. You know, I almost always have my Bible with me. I've got this little digital note-taking thing, and I've always got my planner with me. I'm a planner guy. I've got digital ways to do it. I've got old school. That's my bread and butter right there. I like to write down, you know, what's ahead of me for the week. I like to, you know, be respectful of people's time. And all those sort of things. So if we were to get coffee and talk about some stuff, you would see and I would show up with these things. That's what I was. But it may or may not surprise you that I was definitely not a planner for most of my life. I was a go with the flow kind of guy. You know, that was sort of my life motto. I never planned anything. I just sort of wanted to live in the moment. You know, whatever's coming my way, I want to just respond to it, react to it. And be in the present. Now, one of the things I've found, whether you're in the present doing what you should be doing or in the present doing what you shouldn't be doing, what you're not doing is looking to the future. And I think there's a helpful balance there that Proverbs offers us, because the question is, should we or should we not be planners in life? Now, of course, we can make all the plans in the world we want to make. God can laugh at all those plans, and his plan is what will stand. And we know this, right? We know God's sovereign. We know ultimately it's his will that's going to play out in the world. But does that mean we shouldn't exercise our free will and include God prayerfully in our plans in life? You know, has he not called us to things? Does he not have a plan for your life and my life? I think when we lean towards how I used to, and we sort of say, well, I'm just going to go with the flow, in life, what often the fruit of that sort of perspective is, often is no direction. You know, we've got no direction when it comes that way. We have no way to sort of forecast what it is God wants us to do as we move forward in life. We're just sort of in the moment responding to things or reacting to things. And if your human nature is like my human nature, often my reaction isn't the best of me. So whether things come in life, I'm going with the flow. What happens when the hard stuff comes and I don't have a solid rock in which God's moving my life, a solid direction? You know, I might get really rocked. And I think this sort of translates at times into how we do church. You know, we can have this idea of sort of a go with the flow, but we'll cover it up by saying, and we may not even know we're doing this. And just in lieu of, you know, prayerfully making plans and thinking about the future and including God in that, we might just call it that we're just spirit-led. You know, I don't want to get in the way of God's plans, so therefore I'm not going to make any plans. I'm just going to let the Spirit guide me. Now, we need to be careful about this, I think, because, you know, 100% that is true. In every aspect of life, the Holy Spirit dwells within us as saved believers, and we ought to yield to that guidance and direction. And in fact, that's part of the promise of the Holy Spirit, that he's going to teach us and direct us and show us the way. But we can't mask that for what's really called laziness. Because sometimes we get like that. Sometimes we say, well, what do you got going on in the next few months? What's your plan? What's God doing in your life? What does he want to do? Well, I don't know. I'm just letting the Spirit guide me. Well, the Spirit's been guiding you for 40 years. And you haven't really done much in the church or in your life, and nothing's growing. God doesn't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to be progressively sanctified to be more like our Lord and Savior. Amen. So we got to have some sort of direction. We can't be Spirit-led 70, 80 years of our life and never step into anything. Okay, that's not Spirit-led. That's, you ain't trying to do nothing, okay? Let's just call it what it is. All right, and I was like that. I said, you know, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to make any plans. I don't want to mess up what God's doing. Well, I'm not powerful enough to do that anyway. Well, then we've got another extreme, the overplanner. Any overplanners in the building want to tell on themselves? Yeah, because that's where I started to lean for a while when I started getting in recovery. I got my planner, I got my ways to write things down. I'm trying to organize things in my life. And before I know it, things aren't going the way I'm overplanning them. You know, I got to a point where it was like, okay, 10 to 10:15, I'm doing this. 10:16, I'm walking down the hallway. 10:17, I'm here. I mean, I was crazy. Sorry, I am crazy. Let's make that clear. And what's the fruit of this over or extreme planning in your life? Well, what's going to happen? Things aren't going to happen the way you want them to happen. You know, they might every once in a while, but ultimately it's going to lead to some fruit of anxiety. You know, when you're planning everything that much and you come to learn and realize, okay, everything's not always going to go to my plan. In fact, the majority of the time it probably won't. Now we're just walking around anxious. You know, that might even give way to despair. Now we're just, well, what's the point? Nothing ever goes the way I want it anyway. And now you're back on the other side of things. Okay, now you gave up overplanning for not planning at all. And the thing is, I think God has a lot to say in the Bible about planning. I really think making plans is a biblical thing. You think about God giving detail, instructions, and plans to guys like Moses and Joshua and David and Jesus and others. God gave specific instructions to Noah as he built the ark. He gave specific instructions and plans and details to the Israelites as they built the tabernacle and the temple. Moses, in his first encounter with God, he's given the plan to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Joshua, you know, when reading the book of Joshua, and we did this maybe a year or so or a little more than that ago, we went through the book of Joshua, and it's one plan after another. You know, think of the battle at Jericho. You know, very specific plan that God gave to march around the city for these days, for these amount of times, and the walls would fall. Ironically, consequently, just a few chapters later, Joshua decides to make plans his own way and fails miserably. He doesn't include the Lord in his plans. Nehemiah, which we just talked about a couple months ago, or less, he really took a strategic plan to reconstructing Jerusalem's walls. You know, he evaluated the status of the walls. He was a prayerful man. He included God. He was calculating. He appointed leaders and helpers and protection and all these things that help him complete his task. In short, Nehemiah was a great example of a prayerful, God-including planner. The ministry of Jesus was all part of a plan, including his own sending out and the sending out of the disciples. You know, God had a plan to reconcile believers to himself. You know, he has a plan today to do that. It's called the church. That's what we were talking about this morning, this ministry of reconciliation. In fact, the entire Bible is a plan. It's God's plan of redemptive history for mankind. From the very beginning, God has a plan right after the fall, where the head of the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. You know, that's often described as a forecast for what Jesus is going to do, all the way to the very end of the pages in Scripture, where God has a plan where Jesus is going to come again. All throughout, from the beginning to the end, is the story, the plan of God's redemptive history to reconcile man unto himself. I think what matters the most when we talk about planning, and of course I'm talking about this in the context of December 31st, because what's one of the things that we love to do on New Year's Eve? We like to think about What are our resolutions? What are our plans? What do we want to do and accomplish in the next year? It was funny for a moment. I was, trying to research what some of the most popular resolutions are, and I'm sure you can guess most of them. You know, get fit like I am, which, it takes a lot to get this muscular. Get fit, lose weight, finances, get my finances in order. That's a big one. All these sort of things, you've got financial plans, you've got physical weight loss plans, all these sort of things. But are we including God in our plans? That's the question. That's really the whole thing that matters when we're talking about making plans in our lives. Because the thing is when we are the sole creator and proprietor of our plans, when they fail, what do? Because they're going to fail. And that can often lead way to despair in our lives and hopelessness, because we're hoping in ourselves, in our own might, in our own thoughts, in our own plans, and not acknowledging God in any of it. So verse 1 in chapter 16 of Proverbs has a lot to say right from the beginning about the nature of our plans. Verse 1 challenges our ability to make the correct plan in our lives. It says, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. In other words, we make these plans in our heart, we make these plans in our minds, and we think that this is the absolute best idea. This is the number one way we're going to get this done. I don't even need to hear anybody else's plan. I got this thing. I've got it figured out. I know what I'm going to do. And Proverbs, right from the jump in chapter 16, says, it's in our nature to do this. It's in our nature to come up and devise how we're going to accomplish a task. And it's also in our nature to think that that plan way we operate in this and lay out the blueprint is the best way to do it, or so we think. And Proverbs, right from the jump in chapter 16, says, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to make plans. That's part of our nature. We're even going to think that those plans are the best plans for our lives. But ultimately, it's the Lord that has the proper answer. Ultimately, it's God whose plan is what's best for our lives. It's a challenge of faith. It's a challenge of our humility when it comes to making plans. Now, verse 2 leads way into that even more. It says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the heart. All the ways seem pure to them. We tend to think our plans, our thoughts, our dispositions, our intentions, and our plans in the world are all good and perfect. Not only do we think they're right, in order of the right way to go about it, but we just think it's the right thing to do. We tend to think that mightily of our own plans that we make all by ourselves. I love expressing to you guys that I'm in I know recovery. You know what I mean by that? That I'm in I know recovery. It means my reaction to plans and doing things is to say, oh, yeah, I know. I know how to do it. I know how to do it. Let me just show you how to do it. I just all full disclosure, I maybe told you guys this story a couple months ago, but me and Riley were making brownies. And here's my amazing, beautiful 3-year-old, almost 4-year-old daughter going on 13, and she's standing on her little stool and she's mixing the things and she's trying to crack the eggs. And here I am in I know recovery trying to go, oh, no, hold on. Don't crack the egg yet. Here's how we do it. Don't, just let the kid make a mess, right? My wife's sitting there looking at me going, you are a mess. Why can't you just let her do something? Well, because the way daddy does it is right. Right? I know how to do this. Let me show her how to do it. Not just let her have fun and learn, right? Because I know what's best. Not only do I know what's best, I know the proper way to do it. Everything that I do, that I plan, seems right to me. And everything that I've ever planned and done without the context of God in my life got me to a place like the rescue mission. It got me to a dark place. When I think that everything that I plan is not only the right thing, but how I go about it is the right way to do it. And when you do that too, you ultimately end up in a bad spot. Whatever your bad spot is, it might look different from mine. Because at the end of the day, we realize that without counsel from God, without the motives being weighed out by the Lord and what we're doing, we're just lost. We're just completely lost. So verse 3 begins to give us the remedy in this. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit to him whatever you do, all your plans, all the things that you intend to do, all the things that you think he's called you to. Commit them to him. That word commit literally means to roll over or to transfer. Yep. I think of 1 Peter where Peter says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Just transfer it to him. Roll it over to him. Give your plans fully unto him. And it comes with a promise. When we're able to do that, then he will establish our steps. He will establish the plans. You ever hear when God has something that he's called you to, he's going to equip you along the way. You know, I think about that within many of you. If you're not visiting, you may not know, but there's a shower trailer ministry that's on my heart to have started, and it's in the process. You know, we're purchasing a 6-stall shower trailer. This trailer is almost $100,000. You know, it's 6 stalls. We're going to use it as a ministry to build relationships with those that might be wrestling with homelessness and other issues in the public. You know, our heart is to serve them, to do unto the least, you know, as we do unto the Lord, but not just to wash them clean on the outside, but to give them the living water of Jesus Christ. It's a ministry. And I just want you to know that I don't have $100,000. You all right? I don't have anywhere near that, but this trailer costs about $100,000. And the trailer is 100% paid for in less than 2 months. I got nervous. Because in August, our corporate bank account for Living Water, this is its own separate nonprofit that our church and many churches in Frederick County are, you know, involved in. And it just in August, the end of August, our corporate bank account closed $1,500. You know, it was our statement in August. 6 weeks later, we had $110,000. 6 weeks. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, because he's going to establish the plan. If he's told you to do something, you better give it to him and walk it out and trust him, because he's going to establish the plan. In verse 4, it tells us it deals with God's sovereignty. It says, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Here's another way to put that. Whatever God wants to happen will happen regardless of you and how you live your life and what you do. God is sovereign. He'll use even the evil and the wicked and the bad things in your life and in the world to establish his plan. In fact, he did that to establish his ultimate plan of reconciliation. Was it not an evil travesty that our Lord and Savior endured the passion and the suffering on the cross? And yet he was sovereign throughout that whole process. He had a plan to reconcile the world to himself. He always works out everything to its proper end. It reminds me of Romans 8:28, that God does everything works to good for those that are called, love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, and sometimes we think that good has to be directly with what we want it to accomplish. You know, I think of my life and the lives of my brothers in recovery and all this kind of stuff. And if you've done this for a long enough time, all the bad stuff that happened in your life, ultimately you realize that was for the best, because it wouldn't have got you here today. And that's the same for everyone in here. Whatever you've gone through has got you to this point. So whatever relationship struggles you've had, or marriage struggles, or upbringing, wrestling with your parents or your dad, or maybe they were absent, all the bad things, the evil things that have happened in the world, in your family, because they have happened in your family. How do I know? Because the very first family was jacked up. So you can't tell me yours isn't. God uses all of that. He works out a plan in all those things. And he's brought that plan for you here today. It says, through love and faithfulness in verse 6, sin is atoned for. And through the fear of the Lord, sin is avoided. A few weeks ago, we dealt with chapter 1 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge in Proverbs. It really lays out the thesis statement for what the Proverbs is all about. The fear of the Lord, a reverence, an understanding of our relationship and our really our infinite finite lives compared to God's infinite character, his infinite love compared to our finite love, his infinite mercy and grace compared to our finite. And we have a reverence. That's a fear of the Lord. We have a respect for who he is because he's God and his character. And that fear of the Lord produces in chapter one of Proverbs called knowledge. And that knowledge isn't just knowing things. The knowledge that's referred to in the ancient language, it's dealing with the knowledge that a iron worker would have working with an expert working with that iron. That knowledge is really the skill to accomplish a task, is what it's talking about. And when we have this proper fear of the Lord, this proper relationship with God, we're given this knowledge. We're given the skills to live out a proper life with that relationship in mind. That's what the Proverbs are all about. As we read Proverbs, they're skillfully guiding us to live a life in proper relationship with God. Everything that you read in Proverbs goes back to this fear of the Lord. And that's the establishment of what we need to begin to have a proper relationship, walking in the ways that he wants us to walk in, is a proper fear of the Lord as he establishes our steps. In fact, that's in verse 6 how it says evil is avoided, which makes sense. Evil would be avoided when we're walking in proper relationship with God, being skillfully given the things needed to walk out a life pleasing to him. In verse 7, we read about God's favor. We read about it's encouraging us to seek God's favor. It says, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. If God's behind us, who can stop us? In Isaiah 55, we read about God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But when we have the hand of the Lord and we have God's favor within our lives, he'll make even your enemies to make peace with you. What a powerful, encouraging thing as we endure the plans that we have in life. That when we come up and you know, we're thinking we're going to start this shower trailer ministry, and you look at the bank account and go, well, we only got $1,500. And then 6 weeks later, we got enough money to buy it and start this thing. That's called God's favor. That's called God's favor. That's called God's sovereignty in our lives. In verse 8, it teaches us to evaluate and analyze our character as we go about life and the plans that we have. It says, better is a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Now, how do most people in the world gain a lot of things in the world? Is it often in a just way? Is it often in a morally sound way? Often the way that we gain things in this world is through injustice. But what ultimately happens when we see that? Anxiety, no peace, no joy. You can't even enjoy all the things that you've wrongfully gained in your life because you're so worried and anxious about losing them. And Jesus really flips everything on this head when he says, lose your life for me and you'll gain everything. Better is a little with righteousness, is what the proverb says. We got to learn to have a peace in the things and the gratitude in the things that God has given us, whether we consider them little or not. That's the key to peace. In verse 9, this thing really gets anchored. This whole idea of making plans in our lives becomes anchored. It says, in their hearts, human plans their course, but it's the Lord who establishes the steps. And so really, this is what it's all about. Not New Year's Eve. We commit our work to the Lord and we establish our steps through him, for it is ultimately his good plan and purpose being worked out through us. Now that sounds like a great biblical answer. You know why? Because it is. But do we do this? Is really the question. We can have all the right answers, but are we truly committing? Are we truly rolling over and transferring to him all the work and plans that we have in our lives? Are we truly establishing, allowing him to establish the steps in our lives? Are we including him in our plans? Do we even trust him with our plans? Because sometimes we can say, I trust God all day long. I know he has plans. I know he has good things he wants to accomplish through me. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 says we were created to do good works in Jesus Christ. We know all that stuff. But then whether we profess it or not, the way we go about making plans and doing things in our lives, God becomes an afterthought when things go bad often. Well, God, I tried it my way and I know I should put it, and now I need you again. Well, you needed me from the beginning. You just didn't allow me to establish the steps. Whether you said it or not, you didn't trust me because you didn't include me. And you got to include me in the steps. And so the question comes to, how do we go about including God in our plans? This is, in closing, three things I want you to know about this. We prayerfully acknowledge him in all we seek to do. I think this is a foundational thing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll make your path straight. Don't lean on your own understanding. We have to prayerfully take it to the Lord. Be anxious about nothing, Paul says in Philippians 4. But in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto him. You want to include God in your plans? Start with a prayer life. God, what do you want me to do? Okay, God, I think I got it. Now, how do you want me to do it? Lord, show me the resources. Show me how I'm supposed to go about this. Lord, lay it out in front of me because I don't know. And I just want to submit it to you, Lord. Here I am. Use me. We got to prayerfully acknowledge him in all that we seek to do. We got to seek the advice of godly counsel. You know what that does? It helps confirm that these are plans from God, not something that you just want to do. It's called Christian accountability. Because if I just have a prayerful life, and you know, of course, God can work through that. But there's wisdom in the Bible that says we need to seek godly counsel as we go to make our plans in life. Proverbs 11:14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." Not just my plan. I didn't get here serving the church because I thought this was a great idea. This took a whole lot of people, a whole lot of God working through a whole lot of people to get me doing anything serving him. Believe that when I say that. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Victory is through an abundance of counselors. Do you have your godly board of directors in your life? Do you got those brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to hold you accountable? Brothers, sisters, I've been praying about this. This is what I think God wants me to do. Can you join me in praying? What do you think? What is God telling you about this situation? Can we pray together about it? How do we go about making our plans? We acknowledge him prayerfully. We seek godly counsel and we humbly ask God to direct our steps to his will, not to ours. Think of examples like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, Lord, but your will. Jesus, in fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane says this. He says, "Lord, if this cup could pass, please let it pass. Let me tell you what my plan is, God. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it, Father. It's not within me to desire to do this, Lord. But what is within me is to desire to do your will and to please you. Why? Because when I do that, I trust that your will is what's best for my life. So not my will, but your will be done." In closing, I want you to notice one last thing about these verses. I know we went verse by verse through this. Take a look at verse 1. All of these verses, except verse 8, includes four capital letters in your Bible, L-O-R-D. The plans, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, comes the proper answer. In verse 2, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. In verse 3, commit to the Lord, whatever you do. In verse 4, the Lord works out everything. Verse 5, the Lord detests the proud of heart. In verse 5, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned, but through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. In 7, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, when we have his favor, he calls even our enemies to be at peace. Verse 8, it doesn't include it. Verse 9, in the heart, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. In 8 out of 9 verses, it's the covenantal name of our Lord and Savior, Yahweh. It's what would be understood as the covenantal, faithful, faith-keeping, covenant-keeping proper name of the Lord in the Hebrew Bible, Yahweh. He's the one included in every step of the way of these plans. Every single step in this scripture about plans. It's rare in my study of scripture thus far that I see almost 100 out of 100% of the verses where the proper name Yahweh is included in every single verse directing our steps and establishing our plans in life. And yet we'll walk right out the door and do everything the way we want to do it. Would you stand with me as I pray for us? As we go about our year, as we go about our days, as we walk into a new year in 2024, may everything we do be established. Every step that we take, every motive that we have, be filtered through the word of God and guided and directed by his will. Father God, we thank you so much, dear Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for your great mercy and grace and love. Lord, thank you for the love that which you have loved us. Lord, help us to humbly submit our plans, our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, our character, our transformation, our regeneration, our hearts, our thoughts, our wills, all to you, Lord. Father, we know from experience that doing things we want to do the way we want to do it only leads to darkness in our lives, whatever that looks like for each one of us. Lord, although we know we're still going to have trying times and in this world, we know that there will be all sorts of storms, Father, but Lord, you've told us to take heart because Jesus Christ, your Son, has overcome the world. So Lord, help us include you in the things that we seek to do. Lord, speak to us clearly as we read your word, as we pray, as we meditate, as we fellowship and counsel with one another. Make it clear what you want us to do. You know, Lord, because we don't know. Father, we don't know how we're supposed to walk this thing out in and of ourselves, Lord. We need you. So Father, we lay that desperate need before you now. Father, but we don't leave this in desperation, Lord. We just recognize our desperate need because we know it's through your Son that we have victory. We know that it's through prayer and petition with thanksgiving and acknowledging you in all our ways that you'll make a path straight for us. And Lord, we know that ultimately we have victory in your Son, Jesus Christ, and his reconciliation with us and the world. It's in his holy, matchless name we all said, amen.